Welcome to Christ's Blessing on this beautiful first day of spring. I think the actual transition was during the night, at least in the part of the world where I live, but this would be our first blessing of the spring season. And so I think it would be wonderful just to dedicate it to the new birth we want to see in our life, the growth we want to see, anything we would love to see happening that is fresh and coming to life, new thoughts, new ideas, new projects, healing, and just the joy of the season itself. And I would love to take your calls. However you can put your thoughts together, whether they're to express gratitude or ask for a blessing or to let us know how you're doing with the blessings that you're receiving. We love to hear. We love to have progress reports, and we just love to hear how your life is going because of the blessings of Christ. And I see that Suzanne is on. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Glenda. This is Susanna Houston. My life is going well. For my sister, not so well, and I have a prayer request.
Okay.
My sister just called a few minutes ago to say her husband had a heart attack, and then he coded, and she didn't know if he was going to make it. I mean, they resuscitated him, and they didn't know if he was going to make it. And so I'm asking for prayers for not only him, but whatever will happen, you know, that is up to God. But she's got a quadriplegic brain damage, son, and she just.
Oh my gosh! What is his name?
Frank.
Frank. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And who's
Frank is. He is on our blessing list, and your sister as well. Because I know this is going to be extremely hard for her.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. And I have someone on the call from area code 210, and you're on. Hi.
I guess is it me?
It's you.
Oh, okay. Hi, Glenda. This is Barbara. I'm one of your blessing givers from a while back. And,
hi, Bob.
Hi. So before I ask my request, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do. It's truly a blessing to the whole world.
You're so welcome.
And so today I'm requesting blessings for my beloved daughter. She was recently diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she just started chemo, and she's not feeling well at all with all of this. So I just ask that she be put on the list for today for the blessing on this beautiful spring equinox.
Okay.
Oh, and her name, you need her name, right?
What do you know?
Her name is Autumn Dawn Heyman, and this is Barbara.
Okay.
Thank you.
She is on our blessing list, and blessings to you, sweetie.
Thank you, thank you.
Okay. And let's see, who else is, let me move through our board and see who else has come on the call. Oh, we've got, okay. We have Molly. Hi, Molly, you're on.
Hello, Glenda. This is Ari Moshe.
Oh, okay. You are on, and I'm so glad to hear from you.
So I just want to thank you for the blessings that were offered the past couple weeks and just the space that's being created here. I have a prayer, and it's a question about something about from the book. Can I ask a question?
Sure, of course.
All right, so... I don't remember where it was, but somewhere Yeshua spoke about this idea of, like, charging and speaking about value and money. And he said something that I recall was something like, don't charge for your time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in this interesting situation where I'm in service to many souls that are suffering and my life is devoted to compassion and service. And my professional work is I'm an astrologer and a guide and a counselor. And I'm finding confusion and uncertainty in terms of how I can keep myself clear and in my joy and in my alignment and connected to source, and not be in a place where I feel like people are taking my energy, but rather I'm overflowing from my natural being.
Of course.
I'm learning a lot about boundaries. I would love more clarification on what is teachings around that, because I don't charge for time. I charge per session, and sometimes
well,
goes
that
over.
Is good. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's it. Sometimes, you know, I'll do an hour or do an hour and a half, and I'll get paid vastly in different ways. And, yet, sometimes I feel like I want to say this is how much it costs per hour just to create a more solid structure and to feel that people are also honoring
well,
time.
Well, you know, yeah. I think the first thing you need to clarify is that you're charging by the hour for a product, not you.
Right, right.
Okay? Very big difference. And it's something you need. It will help you clarify in your mind the value of what you're able to provide, let's say, in 1 hour of time. In other words, you're setting a value on your services. You're setting a value on what you offer. You could even soften that and say, as I do with my counseling, because I could very easily take that arrow and point it back to me and say, I'm selling my time per hour. But really, I'm making myself available to God and Yeshua and the Holy Spirit to come through me for the service of that person for that period of time. And do you see the difference?
So it's not about not having a time structure. It's just not charging for the time. It's charging for what's happening in that time structure.
Not putting a price on you is what it's all about. You know, you are priceless. But you are a facilitator of a time format, and in that time format, a lot of things could be offered.
I think I understand that. Thank you.
And I think that will help you, because it will actually help you to determine the value of what you're offering, the value of the service, and let it go at that.
So he was never saying don't put a time structure on the services. That was a misunderstanding of mine.
Right, right. It's,
okay.
It's not so much that you don't put a time structure on the services. It's that you don't put it on yourself. Like, you don't make yourself a man for hire that anyone can do with you as they please for 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 or 4 hours.
Okay. Yeah, I can feel that.
You feel the difference?
I can feel the difference, yeah. I'm so grateful to meditate on that. I want to ask for a prayer, just for myself and for all those that I work with, that we can all benefit and grow closer to our true self through the space that we share together, and that it's only in benefit, only brings more health to everyone.
Absolutely. And thank you for that. So let that be prayer. You pray from your heart today. And I'm going to take, it's so nice talking to you, but I'm going to take a call from someone on area code 720. And you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Cynthia Staley.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, I just wanted to thank you for everything you've done with bringing the message of Yeshua out. It's changed my life drastically, and keep doing it, and I appreciate you. So I just wanted to let you know that, and also I'd like to put my friend Itmar on the blessings list. He's in
Uh-huh.
And I just would like blessings to go out with to him.
I've got his name down.
Okay, great. Thank you. And that's all I wanted to, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate and very grateful to you.
It's my honor and my privilege. Anything I can do that accelerates my ability to love others and to flow the love of Christ is a privilege beyond description. So it's my pleasure. And I'm going to take a call from area code 832, and you're on.
Hello, this is Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, I haven't talked to you in way too long.
I know. How are you doing?
Well, I found out that my cancer came back, so I have qualified for a clinical trial that balances the androgen in the system. There's estrogen and androgen, and sometimes they need some balancing.
Uh-huh.
And so my request is a prayer that the facilitators of the medication of the trial give the right dosage, because it's a random thing. Three capsules, and some people get six. And for my little body, I'm like really tiny.
Oh.
They give me the right dose, right?
I pray for that for you. Always.
And Yeshua knows that. The angels know what that is. And then our prayers will go to the doctors as well. And me.
Yes. And I want to remind you that God works through others.
Yes, I know that.
Sometimes I have encountered people asking for blessings and healings, and they want it to come directly from God to them. And it always puzzles me why they would not want another human being to accelerate that healing and
Absolutely.
Be part of the whole larger team of it all.
Yes.
But it's just something I think that we need to learn to surrender, that God has many ways of working.
Yes, I do know that. And at the same time, when we put forth a request, it gives more focus to the situation.
Uh-huh.
Remember you said about the focus of light is powerful?
Yes.
And that's what this does. And it also lets God know that I am open and receptive.
It's exactly true. And the other thing, too, and this is one of the reasons that prayer circles are so good and so helpful, or, prayer families, prayer friends, prayer groups, because as Jesus said, Yeshua, as he said, when two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. And this reaffirms the whole nature of reality, having and needing confirmation from different perspectives that others can see and join us in our reality.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's why I'm putting my hat in this ring.
Okay. And your heart is in our hands and in God's hands.
Yes. So thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
And it will be regenerated in the right way. It's early stages, so it's not,
Oh, good.
But we just have to guide those cells into complete health and light and balance.
Yes. So, Kathleen, you are in my prayers not only now, and the blessing not only now, but continually.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I see that we have one other caller from area code 806, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is BJ in Amarillo, Texas. And
hi, BJ.
Hi, I want to express my gratitude as well for the work that you're doing and the blessings. They're just tremendous. And I just, I'm experiencing a lot of anger. I wake up in the middle of the night and there is just a lot of anger coming up. There's just a lot of anger in the world at this time. And it just seems like it just keeps moving through me. And I'm not sure it's mine. I'm not sure it's not mine. I mean, I take responsibility for, you know, my emotions. And I just wondered if this is part of the work that we're doing, part of the changes that we're going through.
You know, it's an interesting thing. I had this conversation, a similar conversation, with my husband, who is Larry Jensen, who is a world-class psychologist, very, very famous psychologist, and extremely astute about human emotion and human feeling. And one of the things he said is he said rarely is anger a specific direct emotion. Almost always there's something underneath it. He said, now, it can be a direct emotion. For example, if the neighbor decides to kick your dog and you flash back with genuine, instant anger. But for the most part, anger is our way of expressing objection to conditions that we feel are harmful, destructive, not beneficial for the greater good or not beneficial for our good. And oftentimes, we don't even see what those conditions are. Sometimes it's a diffused feeling of just wondering, how do I turn what's going on in the world into something better? How do I even locate this condition? And one of the things we're often so angry about is that we can't find what's wrong. We know something's wrong. We want to make the world a better place. We want to fix it. And by golly, we just keep looking and looking and looking. We grit our teeth and we say, God, if you would just show me what is wrong and how to fix it, I would gladly give my life to do that. Does that sound familiar to you?
That's the nail right there. That's it.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what Larry was expressing to me. He said almost always. He said there's only a few times where someone may rear end you in the car or somebody drives through your fence or something that specifically you direct your anger to where you can actually see it. Almost always.
Yeah.
It's about something you can't see. And he said one of the best ways of handling that diffused anger is actually to locate another emotion that you can ventilate, which is explicit, which is specific, like grief, like something you lost because of what's going on in the world or what's going on in our life, or maybe even a fear that you have that you could face straight on and say, you know, I'm not going to be afraid of this anymore. I'm going to have the courage. I'm going to stand up to this.
Okay. That helps. That helps a lot.
So that you could localize. It really helps with all of our emotions. And to feel, really feel what we're feeling.
Yeah, I did that last night. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I've even gotten out of bed and done a blessing in the middle of the night because that just seemed to be what I needed to do at that moment. But that helps a lot. Thanks, Glenda.
Okay. Let's see if anyone else was on the call or if we're just going to go. Let's see. Oh, that was BJ. All right. And I don't want to miss anybody on this beautiful first day of spring. We want to catch everybody who has a question. We want this to be a day of joy and a day of birth. And actually, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about joy and happiness. It's so fitting for this day, and joy is such a deeply healing emotion. Joy is different from happiness in one very, very special way, and that is we don't need to have a reason for it. Joy is about the expectation of life rewarding our faith. We hold our faith in the depths of our heart, and then like the lilies of the field, we know that we will bloom and that flower will be glorious. Joy doesn't need a reason. This is the thing I love about spring, because the trees put on leaves not knowing whether there will be rain to sustain their growth or sunlight, or whether high winds will come and blow the leaves off. They simply put on the leaves because it's time. The little wildflowers shoot up in the fields because it's time. They haven't considered whether permission has been given or whether it will be part of some larger program or whether a mower will come along and cut off the heads of the flowers. They simply spring up because the joy of the earth is here. The joy has arrived. And let me say one thing to all of us right now, and that is, my beloved friends, none of us ever know from one day to the other whether the next day will be walked on earth or being walked in heaven. We never know that. But one thing we can always know is that within us, we can always experience the joy of new birth within our soul. This is actually what was being discussed in the book of Acts, the Gospel of Acts, the other books of the New Testament, where it was discussed about being born again. It was never meant that one time and forever you have taken on a new life, and that old life that was born in sin, that was a junker life that had no purpose and no meaning and no value, was thrown away. That is a gross misconception of the meaning. The fact is, if our life that was born at our physical birth was not precious and of value, why would Yeshua have come to bring salvation to it? It was never meant to be thrown away. It was merely meant to be refreshed, to be made new again and again and again every day of our life. We were to learn the joy that comes from faith and the power that comes from faith to literally wake up every day a new person, born in a perfect new kind of completion and returning back to that virginal state from which we were created. There's a huge misconception about human life being on an evolutionary path. Actually, we may have been, to some degree, part of biological evolution, in that God would use that as a tool to bring nature to the point of providing a vessel for the incarnation of his children. That's possible. I have no need to disagree or even agree with that, because to some degree, in most ways, it's irrelevant. The fact is, when it came time for the children of God to incarnate into human form, bodies, physical bodies, and the appropriate level of DNA was provided. And the love that we are, then incarnating in that DNA, transformed it. One of the things that Yeshua made very clear in the last chapter of Love Without End, which I have studied in depth this week in preparation for our chapter 15 lesson that will happen later today, is that it isn't changes in DNA that will perfect our ability for love. It is our capacity for love that will evolve and change our DNA. And that is happening right now. By the way, spirit and love are moving through the human species, through the human race, to draw us into a higher, more benevolent, cohesive family. Now, certainly there is trouble in the world, but also I have never seen so much love being expressed globally towards so many people without any consideration whatsoever of the differences we might have, but all the focus being on the collective love that we are. And that is literally changing the DNA, and that is being studied in the new babies that are being born. It is love that changes DNA, not DNA that changes love. So when the vessel had been prepared and the children of God incarnated, we transformed the vessel. So it really doesn't matter where that vessel came from or how it came to be. But what does matter right now, right here today, in this message and for your blessing, is that once the children of God were incarnate on this planet, we were incarnated in perfect likeness to our Creator. And that perfect likeness is always available to you inside your sacred heart. You never left it. All you did is you embarked upon having many, many levels of experience, many degrees of encounter, challenge, endurance, deviation from perfection, separation from one another, separation from God, different levels of transgression or even hatred or sin or whatever. Whatever may have pulled you away, you were pulled away from your own perfection. That perfection still exists inside you. It's a tiny little light inside most people. But Yeshua has given me now 20 years of experiencing how even those who have totally forgotten about themselves and even condemn themselves still have that tiny light shining. And that tiny light can be made brighter and brighter and brighter. And the brighter that tiny light becomes, the more it melts away all of the garbage that was laid upon it. It just burns it to ashes, until that tiny light has become a huge light. Recently, he has given me the most extraordinary experiences of seeing people with actual criminal intent coming for harm, not seeing anything loving about their being, and being transfigured with such a miracle that in discovering their love, their life has become new, completely new. Yet not one of them forgets who they were, because knowing how they separated is part of the remembrance that assures them they will never do it again. It's also part of the remembrance of the sacred that was covered up. It's part of the remembrance of their own holy creation in the image of God from the beginning that is now fired up and ready to live life again. You see, we must live as a whole person. We don't forgive. We don't forget our years of separation. We allow them to move into the background that we can remember what we never want to do again. We then bring to the foreground the perfection that we are training ourselves to be again, teaching ourselves again to be, and loving ourselves into being once more. And the more we do that, the more that becomes the defining light of who we are. So our light shines upon the world. We remember all of our years of separation because it builds compassion. Why would we want to let go of that, which now is the cornerstone of the compassion we feel for others? We can be both the light we are and the compassion we are. We understand how others can be separate. We know how they will treasure their reunion with themselves and with God. This, to me, is the spirit of springtime, to see that some of the trees are still bare. They have no leaves. They're still in the wintertime. And then there are other trees, like the early flowering fruit trees, that are all abloom. And then there are some trees that are blooming out bright little green leaves. I painted a painting. It's called Early Spring in the Garden. You can find it on my website and go and look at it. You'll see it embraces all of these aspects of spring. It makes us even wonder, will some of these trees ever bloom out again? But we know in faith somehow they will. Maybe there will be a few dead branches that need to be trimmed off, but somewhere they'll bloom out again. They'll come back. It's with the spirit of springtime that we ask for the blessings of Christ today, that whatever we need to leave behind or trim away, we can do so, but we do so with love and not with judgment. We do so even with ourselves, knowing that the worst we have ever experienced or done will be precious in remembrance, in that it will give us the strength to love others and not judge them, to be compassionate to others and not betray them or leave them behind, that it will give us a sense of unity with others who have still not found their way, that we know that everyone belongs, that every part of ourself is just another teacher waiting to give us another lesson about love, forgiveness, compassion, embracing, unity, and the wholeness of life. And it's in that spirit now that I would like to take us into our blessing today. So if you will just be seated, your arms and legs uncrossed, so that energy may flow through you, from the new birthing earth, through your head, from the infinite space of the universe back through you, because all is one, and one is all. And we ask that we may be united in this way, and that the energy around us will expand and touch those in our space, and give the joy of life to others, and that we may be in the joy of our heart, not needing a reason any more than the little wildflowers of the field need a reason to bloom, or even care what tomorrow will bring, because today, in joy, is the fullness of their being. And all is given now, right here, now. Receive the joy. Receive the blessings of God. Let your attention fall into your heart. I will say my prayer to Yeshua. And then you will begin your prayer for 3 minutes. Ask for whatever is in your heart. Let it be prayed from joy, from faith, from expectation, knowing that all is given in love and in the fullness of love to be everything you need, everything you require for the completion of your being and for taking you into the kingdom of heaven on earth. Yeshua, our brother, our friend, Son of God, the one who is in heavenly spaces and who helps us to reach the heavenly place of perfection within ourself. Help us to know that within ourself is a place where nothing can be judged, for there is nothing but perfection. We are one with God in that place. Even though we may have allowed our light to go almost out to where we could barely see it, let us embrace that light at this moment and breathe into it your love, the love of the Holy Spirit, the love and the grace of God that has never abandoned us. Let us seek to be in this place and allow the blessings, the bounty, and the beauty of it to radiate with joy upon the rest of our life, that we may have the courage to bloom like the flowers in spring, never distrusting, never fearing what may come from our love, but reaching outward like a little child, knowing that from the glow and the joy of our own soul, God will match us in full measure and beyond full measure. We ask for all these things now, and we sit as a little child, receiving all your love to give us. Amen. Blessing givers, please join me. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing is complete now. I would like you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes and assimilate all the gifts of the Spirit, all the love of God, and your companionship with Yeshua, that all of this may become united with you, body, heart, and soul. I wish you a wonderful week and look forward to being with you again next week on Easter Sunday. Bye-bye for now.